Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
And happy Saturday, and welcome in another Saturday morning talking baseball here on 670 The Score alongside Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito in for David Haw this week on Inside the Clubhouse. And Bruce, good morning. Another fun year and sometime not so fun year for Chicago baseball as we wrap up 2023.
Well, Mike, at least we have had an over 500 team in baseball. So the Chicago Cubs, the only over 500 team in Chicago sports. And that was something to almost celebrate. They just finished a game behind making the playoffs, which is a low bar to put up there considering where Chicago sports is. But nonetheless, a good year for the Chicago Cubs, something to build on, hopefully. Although our theme today, of course, is going into this show is who is your best Chicago player on both the south and north side in 2023 as we end up this year? And where are the Chicago Cubs at battling their number one opponent right now, which is Scott Boros, not any of the other 29 teams?
No, so, nobody in the Central, just one of the agents.
With that in mind, you know, we will delve into that at 312-644-6767. That's the number you can contact Mike and I at, or text us at that number. And Mike, it's just difficult to watch right now for a Chicago Cub fan, knowing that last year at this time they had signed most of their free agents. Okay,
yep.
They already had Swanson in the mix. Taillon was also a Cub player at that time. So. From that perspective, a lot of Cub fans are frustrated and thinking that the Cubs will not be doing anything in 2024. And I'm here to tell you that that's not going to be the case. They will be involved in getting something done. The question is, will they get the big fish in Bellinger? And will some of the peripheral guys that Boros has, like Chapman or Hoskins, be a part of the mix?
We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And Bruce, we saw this come out this week, and you and I were talking about it here. You've got, I believe it's 24 teams that have signed free agents, another five that have made trades involving major league players. And the one inactive team thus far, and you just said that we will certainly see some moves, but the one inactive team thus far in MLB is the Chicago Cubs. And I know I think a lot of people surprised by the lack of activity from the Cubs. And we talked about way back when we were talking at the beginning of free agency, Ohtani would kind of set the market and then things would open up after that. But really, the big guys all going to the Dodgers, and there have been a few moves here and there, but there's still a lot of free agents out there.
Yeah, there are a lot of free agents out there, but the difference-making free agents is what we're talking about, Mike. So the Cubs, for their lineup, need slug, okay? They need OPS. They need somebody that's going to step in there. Now, that doesn't mean Christopher Morel will not evolve into the next 4,100 guy in the National League and be an impact player for them. But with that unknown and the unknown about whether Pete Crow Armstrong is a everyday major league center fielder, there is angst. And there's angst at Wrigley Field. There's angst among Cub Nation. But, Mike, the reason that a guy like Rhys Hoskins isn't a part of the mix right now is because basically he's playing a position that Bellinger plays as well. So let's say the Cubs bring Bellinger back and they say, well, he's going to be our everyday first baseman, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means that we're going to give Pete Crow Armstrong a chance to be the center fielder. If Pete Crow Armstrong is not ready, then you have Bellinger as your center fielder, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So that precludes them going after Hoskins, probably in the mind of Scott Boras right now, and maybe the Cubs, that you're not going to bring on Hoskins before Bellinger if you have a chance to get Bellinger, okay? Two weeks ago, we had Scott Boras on to talk to us about his free agents, and he talked a little bit about Hoskins as you asked him a question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he had a knee operation. I don't want to say for a guy who had three of them, none of them are Sam, but he had a knee operation. He was fine. He came back, and actually he was going to potentially be added to the World Series roster of the Phillies if they kept advancing. So he really got back to a playing mark and is pretty much ready to go for the 24 season.
1 year, $20 million with an option, something like Bellinger had last year with the Chicago Cubs. Does that make sense to you, Mike?
Well, to me, first base is a glaring hole for the Cubs. Center field, at least you have the Crow Armstrong option there. First base, to me, is the Cubs' biggest need. Belly obviously hits both of those. But for me, Hoskins and the Cubs is the most logical fit out there. But then you point out, and again, if you're not thinking this in terms of exactly what you said, at least I wasn't thinking this, well, gee, Boras represents both of those. Why would he sign Hoskins before he signs Bellinger? So that's the difficulty.
And Michael Tachman and his family are driving around Chicago going,
that's right.
What blank are you talking about? Michael Tachman had a terrific year, and he's probably going to be an important player for the Cubs as well. So as we look past him, which has been about his whole career, he was a really good player and made a big difference as a leadoff man for the Chicago Cubs last, something that people really don't pay enough attention to. But is he an everyday center fielder for you as a left-handed hitter on the team, or is he a very nice backup player off the bench who's done a terrific job?
312-644-6767 is our number. Your calls and your texts to that number. And right, exactly. With Tachman, he did a great job for the Cubs filling in last year, batting at the top of the order, had a very nice stretch, made one of the plays of the season out there in St. Louis with that catch to end the game. To me, a very nice piece on the team, probably not your everyday starting center fielder, but certainly a guy that you would platoon out there. You would DH some. You can rotate around as needed. And that's where I said, for first base, Hoskins makes a ton of sense. But as you mentioned, Boras is not going to, you know, cut off his what's the phrase?
Don't say it, Mike. It'll be our last day on the air.
That's right. You know what I was going to say. He's not going to harm his efforts to sign Bellinger by signing Hoskins ahead of him, right?
No, it just doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense for the Cubs either, because it just takes away some of the off-season balance. I mean, the Cubs could sign him if he had a different agent. I just don't think Boras is going to let that happen.
Well, and you look at the free agent list and you know, going over the top free agents out on the market still, Bellinger and Chapman, both represented by Boras. Blake Snell,
represented by Boris. Jordan Montgomery, represented by Boris. Reese Hoskins, represented by Boris. I did not mention
John Heyman. Oh, no, he just never.
I did not mention Josh Hader. I don't expect the Cubs to make a huge push for a 29-year-old closer at this point, but you get the picture, right? Boris is the top agent in baseball. He has a lot of the best players in the game, and I just rattled off the top of the remaining free agents, and they're all his clients.
Look, so, and Boris is the best chess player among the agents out there because he has done a few things right over the last 35 years, and that is he has put together portfolios on these players. He has made them sound better than they are. And he also represents some of the best players in the game. So
yep.
With that in mind, he has been stealth about timing of not being afraid. In his mind, he talks to his players before they become free agents. And he says to them, Mike, you're not going to sign Christmas. You're not going to sign New Year's Day. You might not sign by February 1st. You're most likely going to sign a few days before spring training. But teams are going to be pushed to the wall at that time, and they will be giving us the best offer. My job is to represent you as where you want to go. My job is also to get you the most money in most years. I represent you as well as the Players Association and players of the future, so it's incumbent upon us to do the best job for you. And this is a message that he indelibly puts into the mind of his players, and they, for the most part, have always responded to this because ultimately he gets a lot of money for his players, whether it's short or long term. He has it figured out.
Cubs fans, is this making you worried / anxious? What are your feelings as we head into 2024 with the Cubs sitting there? And I know they're not inactive. I'm saying inactive in terms of transactions. They have not signed a major league player. They have not made a trade, but they're playing the game. They're playing along the free agency game with Scott Boris. 312-644-6767. Our guest today, I should mention on the show, at 9:30, we'll talk to Bob Nightingale from USA Today. We'll dive into some of the free agency, certainly some of the White Sox moves that have come this week. And at 10 o'clock, we're very happy to be joined by Mark Leiter Jr., relief pitcher for the Chicago Cubs. Had a huge 2023 and really one of the better stories on the Cubs in 2023. We'll talk to Mark at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to you until then at 312-644-6767. And as we talk about Bellinger, and we had Boris on a few weeks ago, let's go back to this soundbite, too, of Scott Boris talking about Cody Bellinger and his free agency.
We can't find that right now.
Scott Boris on Bellinger.
Well, as far as Cody goes, Bruce, I think you know that he really enjoyed the city of Chicago, enjoyed being a Cub, and always these decisions really, really tender on the idea that, you know, how competitive that ownership wants to be to acquire the best players. And I hope for all of Chicago that, you know, the Cubs are meet the competitive nature of the league to compete for the best players and have a good team for them.
So that was Boris. He was on with us 2 weeks ago talking about, and of course he's going to build up his player when he knows after the year Belly just had, you know, a top 10 MVP candidate in the National League, certainly the Cubs' best offensive player. And if not for the missed month that he had with that injury, you'd be talking about it. I mean, he already had a really good season. You'd have been talking about a monster season for Cody Bellinger.
Well, that's the problem. Injury and also ineffective play the two previous years, okay?
Yep.
Not being able to work it out. The Dodgers non-tendering him. They threw their hands up in the air. The potential has always been there for a rookie of the year and a former MVP. So there's no doubt about that. The question is, if you're the Chicago Cubs, Jed Hoyer and people, they're sitting around saying, how much do we want to pay? Okay. How many years do we want to pay? And how long is it going to take for Boros to get the idea that he's not going to get 8 years for him? He's going to get 5 or 6, mm-hmm. maybe with an opt out after 3. So what do we do? Do we make our first and only offer, or do we start playing the game?
And they're clearly playing the game. And Jed Hoyer has said all the right things about Bellinger. And I know privately and during the season we talked to him about this and we talked to Belly about it. I mean, there was a mutual admiration society. Everyone was very happy with Bellinger's season. Bellinger was very happy with his time with the Cubs. But now you get into a different realm, right? You get into the, all right, you know what, let's talk turkey here. You know, what type of money and what type of years are you willing to guarantee us? The nice thing that I like about Bellinger, he plays multiple positions, and defensively, even when you put him first after having him not play first for a while, he was in center the whole time, he made a difference out there with his glove.
So the Cubs metrics people weren't in love with Bellinger's season, okay? I'm not saying Hoyer wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't saying the rest of the front office wasn't. The metrics people would and did tell the Chicago Cubs, hey, there's an awful lot of soft contact here. Okay, so the soft contact was created this way, Mike. Instead of strikeouts and instead of no contact or foul balls, Bellinger developed the hitting technique along through the Cubs hitting people and his own baseball acumen to hit the ball to left field to choke up with 2 strikes mm-hmm. and get base hits to left field. What would you rather have, Mike? A guy that makes hard contact and flies out, or a guy that is savvy enough to increase his batting average back over 300? One of, 8 or 9 players in baseball that hit 300 this year? Okay, and on top of that, the most RBI by any player in the second half of 2023 with 68 RBIs from the All-Star game on. What would you rather have? Somebody that the metrics people like, or somebody that actually helped produce an awful lot of runs for him?
I'm going to take the latter. That's me. You're telling me the metrics people would rather have him hit the ball harder and fly out because it's going to result in what? More home runs? More
home runs, more slug. So with that in mind, you know, you're caught in between eras here.
Yep.
You're caught in between the era of slug, OPS, and now going back to what used to be in baseball, home runs, RBIs, hitting balls in the gap, being a run producer. A lot of people in the metrics world that concentrate on that, and they're not wrong, say that RBIs are a product of where you hit in a batting order, who hits around you. All things are factual. But some do it better than others.
Sure.
Bellinger did. He did it better than anybody in baseball, if you believe in the RBI.
I believe in what I watch, and granted, I am on the older side of the baseball metrics, I would guess, in terms of, you know, the analytics versus what you're watching on the field. But watching the game, he made a huge difference on that team last year in producing runs. You can argue what you will about the slug. I liked what I saw from Cody Bellinger last year. 312-644-6767 is our number. Let's get a phone call or two in here before we talk to Bob Nightingale. Let's start in Lombard talking with Phil about Cody Bellinger on Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Phil, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. A couple of things and a question is, I just think Cody Bellinger makes such perfect sense for the Cubs. I mean, he's, you know, I had no problem with the new Cody Bellinger last year. I think he was not only a two-way player, I'm going to say a three-way player because he ran the bases so well.
Right.
My question is, do you think any part of the negotiation has to do with, do you think he's like him or Boris are stuck on like what position he may play? Because, you know, I think, like I said, I think, you know, first base, center field, and even down the road, he could move into a corner outfield position and probably, you know, would be like, again, defensively, he's a gem at, I think, any three of them positions. So I'm wondering, do you think any part of the negotiations, the sticking point is like maybe the Cubs have him plan to have him play first base and, you know, they're saying, well, no, he needs to be paid as a center fielder, you know, because that's, you know, he's a Gold Glove center fielder. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And that was kind of my question.
Appreciate it, Phil.
Well, Mike, what I think, and I want to get your thoughts on this too, is that Boris doesn't go into the equation saying he needs to play first or center field. He has the luxury of saying he's an all-star Gold Glove type player at either position, which makes him kind of a unicorn there. The fact that he is so good at both, and you can argue one way or the other, right? I mean, he was Gold Glove caliber in center. He was as good a first baseman as you've seen with the Cubs in a long period of time.
Yep.
I mean, was he as good as Rizzo at the top of his game? I'm not quite sure that, but he was so darn good, and it was so natural there. There weren't any lapses in, okay, I'm playing first today, and then all of a sudden he looks like a first baseman. He's playing center. He looks like a very good center fielder. So I don't think Boris, and again, thanks
to
Phil. Texter also said, please pronounce Scott Boris's name properly. It's not Boros. Okay. Thank you. And 312. Again, I don't think that comes up in the equation. I think it's the opposite. He can literally say, you have an all-star Gold Glover at two different positions. What are you willing to pay?
Yeah, to me, Belly was the best first baseman the Cubs had, and he was only put there out of necessity, right? He was a center fielder to start the season and made a huge difference there in center field, right? And you just so happened to have options in center field, and you didn't have him at first base, and you needed to put him there when he came back from injury.
Well,
so.
he had two mistakes. He had Hosmer and Mancini that neither worked out. So with that in mind, he really saved their butt there as well.
And Matt Mervis, and the jury is still out on Mervis. We'll see what happens in 2024. But obviously, his debut did not work out as expected either. Let's get one more call here in at 312-644-6767. Talk a little White Sox with Mike on Inside the Clubhouse. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, fellas. And Bruce, you know, there's the old saying, don't confuse activity with accomplishment. If you guys made a mistake when you said the Cubs were the only team to sign a major league free agent. The White Sox have filled now a quarter of their roster with guys that you never heard of and shouldn't hear of. What are they doing, Bruce? 10 guys, 11 guys other than Maldonado have no business and will never play in the major leagues regularly. What are they trying to do? Is Jerry Reinsdorf playing the role of Rachel Phelps in our favorite movie? I just can't figure it out. What do you think is doing?
Well, what they're doing is they're trying to build an infrastructure of defense and pitching, okay? And they're starting at a level that doesn't tell you they're going to win much of anything this year, other than the fact that what they had last year certainly didn't work out. It wasn't a 101 loss team, but after they dumped out of everybody, Mike, that's what it turned into. Okay.
Yep.
It wasn't a good team. It was, you know, 14 games under 500 after 21 games. And, you know, they never looked back from being bad. With that in mind, they're trying to build some pitching, and they are trying to get some of the smartest, best catchers in baseball in Maldonado and Stassi to help their young pitchers. They're basically building a pitching team that would probably be a AAA team pitching-wise for it growing into a good staff. And they have some options there. You know, you have pitching options in Sirotka. You know, you have pitching options in Fetty, other people like that are going to be on the staff. And we're going to talk more White Sox after we go to the break as we pick it up with Bob Nightingale as well of USA Today, talking more Sox and Cubs.
Yep, we'll talk to Bob about the free agent signings from the White Sox and about free agency in general. We will do that next. And then Mark Leiter Jr. from the Cubs joins us at 10 o'clock. Before Chicago takes on Atlanta, tune in tomorrow from 9 to noon for the PNC Bank pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by your local Ford dealers and Fox Valley Coins. Join Zach Zaidman and Jim Schwantz as they'll get you set for the game. PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears. Then immediately following the game, we will have instant reaction from Zach and Jim on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. All of it can be heard here on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Inside the Clubhouse rolls on with Bob Nightingale from USA Today when we return here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I don't know if the message needed to be put out there, quite honestly, just because everyone knows how impactful Dylan Cease is in this league. But you have a certain threshold as an organization on the return on someone like Dylan Cease. And if there's an opportunity to strengthen our club and plug some holes, which we need to do and continue to look for opportunities to do that, we have to consider that.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse. Let's see what the Cubs and Sox are doing in the offseason on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Alongside Bruce Levine, I'm Mike Esposito, in for David Haw today. That was Chris Getz, White Sox general manager, coming in talking about potentially trading Dylan Cease, and he certainly remains a hot commodity out there on the trade market. And to talk about the White Sox and Cease and everything going on in free agency, Bruce, we head on out to our guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois.
The award-winning columnist from USA Today, our friend Bob Nightingale, nice enough to pick up the phone on a Saturday morning, talk a little baseball. Bob, good morning. Happy New Year to you and your family. And I'm wondering how long Scott Boras is going to take to make a decision on some of his players. Do you have any idea?
Well, I mean, this is what Scott Boras' playbook. If he doesn't get what he wants, he keeps waiting and waiting to see if somebody panics or grabs a guy, even in spring training. And we've seen that plenty of times. I mean, we saw that with the Bryce Harper. Saw that with Chris Bryant, on and on. So, obviously the market isn't what he thought for Bellinger. The Cubs have more desire than anybody else. They don't want to pay over $200 million. So it's kind of a stare down contest. Like, we're not paying this, and we don't think anybody else will either. And nobody else is. I mean, I think Bellinger just falls in their lap, and we'll see at what price.
According to my reporting, and I wonder what yours shows, to the best of our knowledge, there has not been a solid long-term offer for Bellinger. And it looks like a Toronto, who was one of the favorites for his services by media people a couple weeks ago are off the board. What are your reports?
I don't think they're off the board, but they're just kind of hanging back. Like, okay, if he falls our laps, you know, we'll take him. But we're not paying $200 or anything close to that. So I think they fully anticipate the Cubs have a greater need for him. You know, same the San Francisco Giants. They're just no other teams. You know, every team you talk to, they don't know who the real Cody Bellinger is. Is it the guy who played so well for the Cubs last year? Or is it the guy who struggled so much the last 3 years with the Dodgers? Dodgers don't make too many mistakes. I mean, you saw what the Dodgers did, you know, even rejuvenating Jason Hayward and J.D. Martinez. So for the Dodgers to give up on him and really have they don't really want him back, you know, people say, wait a minute now, if they feel this way, you know, what should we give up for him? And they're just, the jury's really out on who Cody Bellinger is.
Talking to Bob Nightingale from USA Today. And, Bob, we played a Chris Getz soundbite coming in. He was asked about potentially trading Dylan Cease, and we've seen what the White Sox have been doing so far this offseason. Do you see the Cease trade as something that will happen eventually this offseason, or is something that may not happen?
I think it eventually happens. I just think there's too big of a demand for starting pitching. And you do get 2 years of control for them. But they're not getting the offers they want so far. We'll see what happens. You know, the White Sox will tell you, hey, we can go in the season with the guy. We can trade him at the trade deadline if we want, or, you know, really want. You know, can trade him in the you know, next off season. So they're going to wait for their asking price. You know, so they've talked, you know, a little bit with the Yankees, a little bit with the Reds, the Dodgers, before they made their trade for Tyler Glasnow. But really haven't come close to being motivated to move him. I think they're just kind of waiting for someone to say, we really got to get this guy. But as right now, you know, everything's been very quiet on him. They're waiting for someone to step up. Nobody has.
When it comes to Cease, he hasn't missed a start since 2018, Bob. On top of that, he was sixth in strikeouts, and he had a bad year. Okay. With all those numbers and the fact that he's only going to make $8 million this year, probably 10 or 11 next year, doesn't that make him likely still the best buy in baseball coming in if you're one of the contending teams?
Yeah, when you look at the he's probably going to make maybe $25 million total the next 2 years. You know, and we just saw what the Red Sox paid for Giolito, who absolutely stunk last year. You know, giving him $38 million over 2 years. You know, some people will say, well, look at the Dodgers. They just got Glasnow, and they got 5 years of control because they were able to lock him up to extension. With the Cease, you only have him for 2 years. But, you know, you got 2 years to, you know, have him say, this is where I want to be. You know, in Atlanta, and I forgot to mention Atlanta. Atlanta's still in this thing, too. They haven't made that big offer yet. But they could. I still think the team that would be most aggressive is Atlanta. They, you know, they got the prospects. You know, they don't have the same prospects as Cincinnati does, or Baltimore does,
or the Dodgers. But,
you know, with Dodgers. But now the Dodgers are pretty much set. You know, with Glasnow there, of course the Yamamoto. But I think they're going to be the most aggressive when push comes to shove. You know, Baltimore is a team that should make the move for. Right. They really should. They got a. Yeah, so many prospects, you don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, exactly. As we talked to Bob Nightingale here at USA Today, Bob, we're talking about White Sox and a potential trade of Dylan Cease. The Sox have made some moves. We heard from some Sox fans in our first segment of the show. They're not exactly front page news. They were not overwhelmed by the signings of Martin Maldonado, Tim Hill, and Chris Flexen. But there's a definite strategy, isn't there, that for what the White Sox are trying to do?
Yeah, I think they're trying to put themselves in position to be competitive, if not, you know, be a contender for the division in 2025. So, hey, they lost a lot of money last year. The attendance was, you know, brutal. So they're not going to, you know, they pretty much said from the get-go, they weren't going to be players in the big-time players in the free agent market, try to get, you know, lower guys like they have so far. I think the Maldonado signing was fabulous. And I say that just from being around the Astros a lot.
those guys love pitching to Maldonado. And he was like an assistant manager out there. It was almost like a Yadier Molina. I'm not saying Yadier Molina's caliber, but that's what he was thought of in the clubhouse, on the field, and everything else. I think you're just going to see a dramatic, dramatic difference between having Maldonado catch the team compared to Grandal.
Do you understand the White Sox fans' angst about a rookie general manager and the fact that nobody's going to pick the White Sox to finish anywhere higher than fourth in their division going into the season?
Oh, sure. I mean, every fan base wants their team to be a contender and spend as much money as possible and go for it. But I think you have to be realistic. I mean, they tried that, and it didn't work. I mean, their window after reloading there, rebuilding, was only about a year and a half. Once it didn't work the last 2 years, it's time to, rebuild once again. Not a dramatic rebuild. They're not trading away Luis Robert or anything like that. And they're, they're lucky in the right division. But I think you make the right moves and, maybe go in a pre-agent market a year from now. With the AL Central the way it is, why can't you contend?
Is Eloy Jimenez then a name that we should look to see traded in the next few months, Bob?
Well, there wasn't much market for him. I think if he's traded, it won't be until the All-Star break or, trade deadline at the end of July. I just don't think people, want that at that, want him right now. So, I had not heard his name barely at all in trade talks. So I think he would have to be a midsummer move.
Before we close out with you, Bob, the pitching market free agent-wise is led by Blake Snell, but we're not hearing much about him. Is that a surprise to you, or the fact that he's only had really two high-quality major league seasons in his career where he pitched over 130 innings? Both of them happen to be Cy Young Award-winning years. Does that convolute things for general managers looking at how long that Boris and the player are going to want and what they want to offer?
Well, I think, the fact he only pitched in the sixth inning three times last year, he's only pitched in two small markets. That's a huge factor. Like, I know people keep writing about Philadelphia. They have no interest in Blake Snell. Just like I'd be stunned if Bellinger doesn't end up with the Cubs, I'd be stunned if San Francisco doesn't end up with Blake Snell. I think the big markets are afraid what would happen. Remember now, he had a hard time adjusting going from Tampa Bay to San Diego. And that's San Diego, so you can imagine having him pitch in Philly, Boston, New York, that sort of thing. That's why I think San Francisco would probably be a perfect spot for him.
Last thing for me, Bob, as we've talked a ton about Bellinger, what else, if anything, do you expect the Cubs to do? We've mentioned Hoskins as well. What other names would Cubs fans be wise to look at?
Well, I think Hoskins is a great call there, Mike. I mean, they want Alonzo. I do think Alonzo gets moved at some point because it's obvious they don't want to send to extension, but they're not talking about him right now. But particularly the way it works is a lot of times if an agent has a couple of guys, it's almost like some sort of package deal. Like, okay, if you want to step up for Hoskins, here's what we'll give you for a, Bellinger too. So I could easily see that working with the Scott Boris being the agent for both guys, because you've seen it over and over and over again. It's like Joe Wolf and Yamamoto. Well, Joe Wolf's got a great relationship too with the Dodgers, and you saw him call out Brian Cashman during the offseason. Those things play a factor.
Last one, Marcus Stroman, we're not hearing. Is he going to have to just wait until a few more of these higher-profile pitchers like Snell sign? We saw the Giolito signing yesterday, which was pretty shocking to me for a guy that had really two bad years in a row and gave up 41 home runs last year. I'm a big Lucas Giolito fan. From the perspective of the person, he's one of the best you'll ever meet. But the reality of the high fastball and the high changeup going out of the ballpark, it's kind of mind-boggling to get a 2-year guarantee.
Yeah. I mean, you have the, he's got it up after 1 year. He thinks he can prove himself. But I think it's also a first-year GM in a fan base that's getting very angry for how bad they've been, and then they're not spending money. So I think they had to overspend to get him to come there. And, you know, they'll try to fix him. I mean, obviously it didn't work with the White Sox, and just got worse with the Angels and then Cleveland. So, you know, now he's in a market. You better pitch well in spring training or they're going to be booing you on opening day. You know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, with Stroman, you know, I'm sure Stroman's sitting back and say, wait a minute now. If Giolito's getting $38 million over 2 years, you know, I was smart to opt out. I should get, you know, 3 years and, you know, maybe close to what he originally signed for with the Cubs. So I think with him, he sits back and waits until Snell signs and then maybe hits the mark and then says, okay, I'm ready to sign.
Bob, Happy New Year. Thanks for helping us out, making us sound smart today on a Saturday morning. All the best to you, and we will talk to you soon. Hopefully we'll see a flurry of free agents and two or three of them signing with the Chicago Cubs before spring training.
Yeah, it's been a slow winter, but yeah, you know, guys start to panic too. You know, families say, wait a minute now, where am I going to spend the summer? Kids got to enroll in school, spring training, housing, everything else. So yeah, I think you'll see a flurry of stuff happening here in the first couple of weeks after January.
Thanks again. Have a great New Year, Bob.
You too, Bruce. See you, Mike.
See you. That's Bob Nightingale, USA Today. We always enjoy talking baseball and free agency with Bob when we return. Our Chicago-bound segment, Bruce, and we will look at another Japanese pitcher. We'll do that when we return. Mark Leiter Jr. at the top of the next hour. It's Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito, and for David today, this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I'm going to tell you something that you all should know. Chicago is the greatest place I ever know. I'm going to stay in this town. I'm going to live in this town. I'm going to live in Chicago, the greatest place around.
The Cubs and Sox are off for the winter, but inside the clubhouse starts the hot stove discussion now. Inside the clubhouse takes a look at which free agents and trades the Cubs and Sox should explore. Will they trade for a top pitcher or player? Is free agency the way the North and South Siders go? You help them make the call. 312-644-6767.
And on our Chicago-bound segment here on Inside the Clubhouse, we take a look at yet another Japanese free agent with Ohtani and Yamamoto both off the board, both with the Los Angeles Dodgers. An intriguing name for the Cubs, Bruce, and that is the one of the 30-year-old southpaw coming over from the Nippon Professional Baseball League, Shota Imanaga.
A veteran pitcher, left-hander, throws 92 or 93, which means he probably tops out at that and usually throws 91 right around there. Five different pitches, a very savvy pitcher who's been successful, was on the mound for Team Japan when they won the WBC last year. Well thought of, but again, the price is considered to be high at this point. The one caveat here that people have to pay attention to is if he doesn't sign by January 11th, which is not so far away now, less than 2 weeks, that means he has to go back to Japan. They have to post him, and posting is up January 11th. Whoever signs him will have to pay a posting fee like they did in Yamamoto. But again, the reality of him getting the money that he wants as opposed to what it's going to be, Mike, that has to happen in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and he's a different pitcher than Yamamoto. He's 5 years older. He's left-handed. He's a lot smaller size-wise. He's a shorter type pitcher. I've seen him referred to as more of a middle-of-the-rotation kind of guy. Last year in Japan, 7-5, 2.66 ERA, 1.02 on the whip. Not exactly a huge power strikeout guy. You mentioned tops out in the low 90s.
Doesn't walk anybody.
He's a
He walked 24 guys.
He's a control pitcher. The whip is very low. He's going to give you a professional outing. So as we talk about the name of our segment, Chicago Bound, is he a guy, Bruce, that you think realistically is Chicago Bound or can be Chicago Bound at the right price?
Well, the Cubs have been kicking the tires, Mike. And with that in mind, that means that they're interested. Again, is it a 5-year deal he's looking for? Is it a 3-year deal he'll settle for at somewhere between 18 and 22, 23 million? Would that be sufficient to get him? Or is the pitching market going to be so weak here that people are going to overpay? Again, he does not have the luxury of waiting this out. He only has 2 weeks to sign. So push comes to shove here. I think we're going to know about the Cubs being involved in this in the next week, and they certainly have been as far as talking to the agent and trying to figure it out.
And when you look at the Cubs right now, Stroman obviously opted out. He's a free agent. You've got Steele, Hendricks, and Tyone that you can definitely mark in your rotation at this point. And you have options, right? You've got the Assads of the world that started for you at times last year, although Assad has pitched in many different roles. You know, what happens with Wicks, a guy we saw last year? The Cubs have options. Do they spend the money? Do they go after a guy like Shota Imanaga to help out that rotation?
Yeah, I think they'd like to. You know, pitching depth is something that Hoyer talks about more than most general managers. And his goal is to have, you know, 7-8 deep. He's got Horton coming. He's got Brown coming. Power arms. So can they afford the luxury of them signing another contact pitcher? Again, in a league where it's not as forgiving with the home run ball. So from that perspective, you have to look at them and say, well, they believe in the changeup. They believe in the slider. They believe in the ground ball rate. They're going to make a run at him.
312-644-6767 is our number. Owen, Emmett, everyone else on hold. We ask you to be patient and please hang on because coming up next, we're going to talk to Cubs reliever Mark Leiter Jr. We'd love to take your calls after we talk to Mark, but we'll talk to one of the Cubs' best relievers of 2023. We'll talk to him next when we return on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.